We're talking today about fruit. How many of you like fruit? Fruit is my favorite food. My favorite dessert is ice cream, but my favorite food is fruit. And they say you are what you eat, and I love fruit and nuts. So take that for what it's worth. Who has a favorite fruit? Anybody have a favorite fruit? Grapes? Raspberries? Mango? Bananas? Strawberries? Raspberries? Blueberries? We got lots, look at it. Yeah, okay, go ahead. Peaches, all right. Got to throw the peaches in there for Georgia. What? Pears. Oranges. What did we miss? Kumquats. Okay. So, pomegranates, ugly fruit. Yeah, all sorts of fruits. And you know what? It's good that we're talking like this, because today we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit and what the fruit of the Spirit is to be overwhelming. It's supposed to be something. It's a blessing of God. And as much as I love physical fruit, the spiritual fruit of the Spirit is even more exciting. So today we're finishing our series on the Holy Spirit. A couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we talked about just who the Holy Spirit is. And then we talked about what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit and how are we filled with the Spirit. And we said that we're really filled two ways, two steps. One is to exhale and to confess our sins and get all the junk out of our lives. And then the other is to inhale and to ask and seek God and the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. That if you're a follower of Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit. It comes with the package. But just because you have the Spirit doesn't mean the Spirit is alive and active. Just like if you stick, as we showed, you stick Nestle's Quick in a cup, it just sort of sinks to the bottom and you got to stir it up. And so we stir it up through confession and repentance, and then also through just inviting the Spirit to come in our lives and change us. And I don't know about you, but several times I've caught myself just desperate for the Holy Spirit, whether it was just trying to pack bikes that didn't fit into our truck to go camping. And you're like, okay, I need your Holy Spirit to come and fill me, because this is not a good spirit that's rising up within me. Or certainly, you know, that moment where I was wondering if I was going to drown or not, just praying, Lord, Holy Spirit, come and fill me, not with water, but with your Spirit, so that we can swim our way out of this tent. But over and over, I've really been learning just how the Spirit wants to be in our lives, and yet we often just sort of ignore him. And as long as we ignore the Holy Spirit, I mean, the Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to just invade our lives and force stuff upon us. And last week we talked about spiritual gifts, and Phil, your song was perfect today. I mean, that was just a beautiful song. I really appreciated that. And just how the Spirit gives gifts. And we all have different gifts, and we all need to find out what our gifts are and to use them to build up each other, not for our own benefit, but to serve and bless other people. And even camping, we just had the experience of seeing different people with different gifts. And the Vernons have this, they just have the gift of camping. I don't know if it's in the Bible, but they have just this amazing gift. And Jonathan had a spiritual gift of cooking banana pancakes like nobody's business. And maybe not a spiritual gift, but God has created us to need one another, and that we are dependent, interdependent upon one another. And friends, let me just say, I need you. And you need me. And together, we really are able to be the body of Christ. Nobody has all the gifts. And that's by design, that God would make us interdependent. So today we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And a lot of you probably are familiar with the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe remember there's a song that lists all the fruits and that sort of thing. I just like looking at this picture. It really kind of makes me hungry, actually. But the fruit of the Spirit. And so before we dive in, let's just take one moment and pray together, shall we? God, in these moments that we have together, I just pray, as I do each week, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would please you, my God. You are so amazing and so wonderful. And I pray that we would bear fruit that honors you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, many Christ followers know Galatians 5, 22, 23, and talk about love, joy, peace, and you kind of go through all those. But as we've often said, the context is so very, very important that you really can't just take your favorite verse out of context and rip it out of your Bible and stick it on the wall in some nice calligraphy frame and go, oh, that's lovely, if you don't understand really what's going on and what the context is. And so in this situation, Paul, he's writing to a church in a city called Galatia. The people are debating the value of the Old Testament law and its implication for followers of Jesus, particularly Gentiles. Now, this is something that most of us are completely unfamiliar with, because most of us don't come from a Jewish tradition and saying, well, if I follow Yeshua, Jesus, well, what do I have to give up? And do I have to be circumcised and this, that, and the other thing? But in the early church, this was a big deal. Jesus was a Jew, and the gospel began largely among the Jewish people, and then it started to spread to the Gentiles. And so there was all these debate and conflict about, well, are we supposed to be circumcised? Are we supposed to, can we eat meat that was sacrificed to idols, and so on and so on? Do we have to keep all these laws and regulations? And so then Paul writes, and he says, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Quite a warning that he says. Sometimes it just amazes me how the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, 2,000 years ago, Paul's warning the early church to stop devouring each other and gossiping and slandering and doing all this evil thing and bickering and complaining and whining and whatnot. And I think, really, has much changed in 2,000 years, tragically? I mean, if we can't get along inside the family of God, how in the world are we going to be able to be attractive to the outside world and invite them to be a part of the family of God? So, how in the world can we leave this building to be missionaries in our community? Well, it continues on. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. So what he's saying is, follow the Spirit. The law is important and has value, but there's this other force that's at work in our lives, and it's called sin. And it's really, really attractive. How many of you have discovered sin to be really attractive? Okay. See, the idea of following Jesus, it's so radical. It's so revolutionary. It's so countercultural, because everything in our culture has its basis in the world and the world's value system. Almost everything that you see in the media and movies and advertisements and everything is all trying to lure you into sin. Now, it may not be blatant sin, and it may not be evil sin. And I'm not saying everything in the world is evil, because God created the planet and God created a beautiful planet, and everything that God makes is good. It's just the enemy likes to take whatever he makes and likes to twist it and destroy it, to steal and kill. But what is popular in our culture, generally speaking, is going to be drawn to our sinful carnal nature. It's going to be in opposition to the Spirit. And so to really follow Jesus means to live a radical, radical life. So this idea of being filled with the Spirit is the only way that we're going to combat that. It's the only way that we're going to look like Jesus, is if we're connected to the Holy Spirit and His agenda and His system instead of the world's agenda. Now, we're going to just kind of look at a contrast here. He says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And tell me if this doesn't sound like our world. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Some of you are going, that sounds like my boss. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, think about just this list. How many, if you had a nickel for every time you saw one of these things lived out in a television program or a video game or, you know, a movie or something. I mean, this is the world. This is the kingdom of the world. And I looking at this list, I'm sure each of us, there's some things up here that we struggle with from time to time. Maybe on a daily basis. But there's a better way. And let me just say this. We cannot make the better way happen. You can't try hard enough. You don't have enough power to say no to all this on your own strength. In fact, the whole idea of AA is that you can't do it by yourself. You need a higher power. I would like to insert that and say you need the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the only way you have a chance. And it's hard with the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit, our lives look like this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Can you just say those with me? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, this is the one time that I like the word but. You know, because Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a contrast. This is what the world looks like. This is what the Spirit looks like. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. It's a beautiful contrast. I've heard a lot of religious people in my day talk about their how holier than thou they are. They talk about how they've gone to church so many times and they memorize this part of the Bible and they're, you know, they have all this great wisdom and knowledge and wow, they got it all together, which is pretty much what the Pharisees often did. You know, they kind of forgot the whole pride, humility thing. So they had all this good stuff, but then there was this pride that was lurking. It's very important to pray. It's very important to fast and read the Bible and memorize scripture and tell other people about Jesus and attend church and do all these things. But I just wonder, is this a better barometer of spiritual maturity? If you really want to measure spiritual maturity and how mature you are, look at this list. How much love is in your life? How much joy do you have? Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's not like we can, you know, plug into some machine and get a readout on how loving we are or how much self-control we are. But to me, this is fruit. And this is an expression, an outward expression of what happens inwardly. This is a barometer of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Now, the real question is, are you more loving today than you were a week ago? Or a month ago or a year ago? Do you have more peace? More goodness? You know, it's interesting. The first three, they deal with a relationship with God. And these are habits of the mind. Love, joy, and peace. Love. Not only love for God, but love for man. The Greek word is agape. This like godly love. It's beautiful love. It's the foundation of all the other graces. God's agape love. Joy. The word is shara, and it's a deep and abiding inner rejoicing, not dependent upon circumstances. This is key. So many times we think joy means I'm just happy all the time and I can be fake about it or something. Or since my life's a wreck, I can't have joy. But no, we can have joy. It says the joy of the Lord is my strength, that we can have an inner joy knowing that God is in control and we're not, even when our circumstances are crazy and chaotic. Peace, an inner quietness, even in the face of trials that defies human understanding. Maybe you've run across somebody in the midst of just horrendous situation and they just seem to have a sense of peace. And you think, how in the world? That's the Holy Spirit alive in their lives. The next three talk about a relationship with other people. Patience. Yeah, this is a tough one for some of us, isn't it? When the microwave takes too long, you know something's wrong. When wrongfully treated, there's no thought of revenge. I mean, this isn't just patience about, you know, the guy in front of me who's not going fast enough on the expressway. But when someone has wronged me, the idea of just being patient with them and not seeking revenge. Kindness, benevolence in action. This isn't just being nice to everybody, but it's looking out for the other person and benevolence. And then goodness. Doing good, even when it's undeserved. This idea of an uprightness of the soul. So these three are all about how we treat other people. And then lastly, the final three address our personal character in relationship to ourselves. The graces that guide our general conduct. Faithfulness. Are you trustworthy and reliable? Gentleness. Are you submissive to God's word and considerate of others when discipline is needed? And finally, self-control, that idea of self-mastery and curbing fleshly impulses. So fruit. Paul's talking about fruit, and fruit, it implies growth. And I love this. Fruit grows over time. It matures over time. It ripens over time. Sometimes we demonstrate our lack of patience when we come to Jesus and we say, make me like you, Jesus, change me, bear fruit. I want to be an orchard. And God says, it takes a little time. Fruit takes actually quite a while. As much as I want to plant a fruit tree in my yard and then just start picking the fruit off, it doesn't work that way. It takes time. And one thing I love about being around people that have followed Jesus for a long time is there's just such a maturity and a depth to their life, to their character. Last night, Pastor Lee, 72-year-old church planter from Vietnam, that's starting this church in Ann Arbor for the Vietnamese people. 72 years old. You just get, I mean, just being a few inches away from him, I can almost just smell the fruit of his life. I mean, I smell Jesus and his passion for the Lord, just to hear him weeping over Ann Arbor and the Vietnamese in Ann Arbor as we prayed last night. And I think here's a guy who's walked with Jesus for so many years. And it was a beautiful thing to behold, because that fruit was so ripe and so mature. Well, perhaps you've, like me, you've called this the fruits of the Spirit. But it's always been interesting to me that it's a singular word, the fruit. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit. The word is karpos, and it's related to the gifts of the Spirit. Many gifts, but one fruit, are like a cluster. I kind of like that image, like a cluster of fruit. It's like all these things. It's like a basket. A big basket of fruit, all these different things wrapped up together. And obviously it's the opposite of the works of the flesh. They should all be found in a believer who is filled with the Holy Spirit. And some have even likened it like to a puzzle, and you unlock the linchpin and the entire puzzle comes apart and must be put together. That's kind of like what all the different fruit are. They all work together in the correct sequence. And I think the fruit of the Spirit's like that. Each one is a facet or a slice that reflects God's character, and by his very nature, they're interlocked and interwoven. And as we work on one, all are developed. Isn't that neat? And as we work on one of those, they're all developed. And if we look at the list again, you'll notice that since they're all related, the goal isn't to focus on one, but it's to focus on God. I mean, it can be overwhelming to say, let's try to do all those today. This week, I want everyone to do better in all these areas. I mean, you'd be like, kind of overwhelmed. But when we focus particularly on love and God's love, God's agape love, and what does it mean to love God as he loved us and to love others, then pretty soon, Dallas Willard says it's like a train. Like, we start with one and then the others just sort of naturally follow, and they come into place and they all work together. Notice too that this list is simply a description of Jesus. He lived the ultimate human life, and he was controlled by the power of the Spirit despite trials and temptations. And he invites us similar to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This list, friends, should describe us. And I don't know if any of you are familiar with a recent book called Unchristian, but there was a huge research study in our country that was done, particularly among the youth, but it covered a wide range of people. And they basically asked the question, what do you think of when you think of Christians? What do you think of when you think of Christ followers? And this is some of the list. The number one thing that people thought of Christians, the number one thing was anti-homosexual. Number two was judgmental. Number three was hypocritical, sheltered, too political, and proselytizers, insensitive to others, not genuine. This is the fruit that we are bearing in our culture right now. I don't see any of Paul's list up here, do you? Friends, I look at this list and I think we are failing miserably. The first thing that people should think of when they think of us is those are the most loving people. And then they are so filled with joy and peace. They're the most patient people I know. They're so kind and good and faithful and self-controlled. What does this tell you? It tells me that we're simply not being filled with the Spirit. That we're living life like everyone else. In fact, in some respects, we're living life worse off than other people. The reputation that we have as Christ followers in this nation right now is probably at an all-time low. In fact, one list I saw said that among occupations, the only thing worse than being a pastor in terms of reputation would be a prostitute. I got to feel really good about that one. Friends, my heart just grieves, and I hear people say, well, no one wants to come to church anymore. What's happening to our youth? Why aren't people following Jesus? And if this is what they think of us, no wonder they want to stay far, far, far away. But I've got some really good news for you this morning. Each one of you has the ability to develop relationships with people and to spread the love virus. that God has called each of us when we leave this place to really begin the church. I mean, this is a gathering of the church, but the real work happens when we leave. To let your light shine, to be the person that changes the impressions that people have of Jesus. I would love for people to go, really, you're a Christian? I've never known a Christian that was so gracious, so kind, so loving, so compassionate, so generous, so faithful. Every day we have opportunities with the people that we rub shoulders with to change this. And friends, I pray that we do. Because this is not Jesus. This is not Jesus. Jesus said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them." And I think, what kind of fruit are we bearing? What kind of fruit are you bearing? Remember, fruit takes time to mature. We don't just pray the prayer and it just happens overnight. Maturity takes a lifetime. It doesn't really even matter where you are today in your spiritual journey. The question is, where are you headed? Are you becoming more like Jesus or less? Are you bearing more of the fruit of the Spirit? Or are you bearing more of the fruit of the world? Is your desire for Jesus growing more and more? Are you truly desperate, as we sang earlier? And sometimes words are so flippant, you know. Yeah, I'm desperate for you. I'm also dying. Or is your heart, I mean, you find yourself almost weeping and crying out to God because you realize how desperate you are for Him. Friends, God honors the prayers of desperate people. God honors the prayers when you cry out to Him and say, "Fill me, fill me, fill me." Are you more loving than a week ago, a month ago, a year ago? You know, it all boils down to two simple things. Do you love God more, or do you love your neighbor more? In the passage, it concludes by saying this about the fruit of the Spirit. Against such things, there is no law. I love that. State the obvious, Paul. Yep, there's a law against loving people now. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. If we live by the Spirit, if we're filled with the Spirit, we will be like Jesus. We will love God. We will love our neighbor. And friends, that's a church and that's a family worth embracing. Remember, it's all about God. It's not something that you can do, you can manufacture, but you can open yourself up and cry out to God. And as the band comes up, I just want you to bow your head, if you will, and just take a few moments and spiritually breathe. It all begins with repentance and seeking the filling of the Spirit. Empty the junk out of your life right now. Just take a moment and confess your sins. He's faithful and just and will cleanse you and purify you from all unrighteousness. And then just invite the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to fill you.